Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Everyone, welcome. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an inner intelligence coach, and I am thrilled to have Melissa Moon here with me today. Melissa, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, whenever you're watching this.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I always say good morning because it airs in the morning, but it's like, yeah, sure. People could be listening to this at any time of day.
Absolutely.
So Melissa, to start out with, please tell us a bit about you.
Yeah, so I am an Elon healing facilitator. I work with people in a variety of different domains in life, but really finding the opportunity for people to create more safety and connection in their bodies. So when they bump into things that kind of spiral them into a mind cluck, right? Or even sitting in front of the computer, knowing that this is being recorded, like knowing that other people are going to watch it. It's like, oh, you know, I use my breathing techniques. I bring it back to my body so I can like, in these little mind clucks, be able to still stay connected and stay focused and know that there's ease around the situation.
That and is so beautiful. Yeah, love it. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, so just teaching people that, you know, I'm a mother. I love to be outdoors and work out with my body and my hands and be in the dirt and connect with friends and really be a big part of my community. And so we, as people, need those connections to thrive. And we need to know that we first have an inner connection that we can be safe in to be able to work with others in our community and raise our families and, I don't know, just be better people.
I totally agree with that. So tell us about how you shifted from where you were in your life before, or tell us a bit about like where you were in your life before and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah. So where to start? That's a good question. What ultimately led me on my healing journey when I was younger was really somebody. I first started in the medical field. And I was an X-ray technician, medical assistant. And, you know, I think we all have this really deep, innate sense of wanting to be of service. To some degree, I mean, maybe not everybody, but I think the most of us, you know, when we really like boil things down, it's like, how do I be of service to myself, to my community, and creating solutions to problems? Like, we're so hardwired to focus on problems. And so it just seems like a natural thing to be like, well, how do we like work our way through problems? And how do we do it gracefully and with as much ease as possible?
Yeah.
And so I went into the medical field and just really realize that the allopathic model does not work for me. Like in regards to actually being of service and meeting people and caring for people for exactly where they're at. And so ended up leaving the medical field because I got pregnant with my first daughter and went into a spiritual practice. So I had all that background of the physiology, like the real medical background. But I was like, oh, there's like a different, like there's a component missing. And so there was this spiritual component that was missing that I was like really interested in diving into. And so I became a Reiki practitioner while I was pregnant and let that kind of unfold in my own personal healing for others, and then decided to create a practice around it. And then that I did for a little bit of time, but also realized that, you know, there was more. Like there was like another step of being in service. And so after my first daughter was born, I actually developed this giant lump on my neck.
Yikes. That's so scary.
It was a wild Tuesday afternoon. You know, it's like an 8-month-old. I'm living with other people. I have a partner. You know, it was one of those things where it's just like, it was a mind cluck for sure. Like how, like it was egg shaped. It, you know, almost went to my jawline. It was giant. I was like, how did I miss this?
Yeah.
Where did this come from? Why didn't anybody else tell me I had this on my neck? And what it really did is, you know, I tapped into my skills. I really checked in with my body. You know, am I distressed about this? Like, what is, you know, what is it that I need to really take some time and focus on for a moment? Mm-hmm. And the first thing was my breath.
Okay.
You know, staying centered, staying connected within. And then I started to become curious and went and saw the doctor. It, you know, long story short, it wasn't like cancer or anything. It ended up being
goodness.
Thank goodness. And so ended up being a salivary gland that was filled with blood.
Oh, wow.
Which was just an interesting thing. And so my doctor was perplexed. But over time, before I got into surgery, I had an opportunity. I had an opportunity to do talk therapy. And so we talked through all the stuff, you know, the things that I didn't know I had, like mommy issues, daddy issues, trust issues, not owning my voice and being in communication, like, you know, how life, the hardness of reality, the destruction of our fantasies, like all these things that really came into view. And it was all that defense, like the focus really was in that defense. And then my practitioner was just like, okay, now that we've focused on this and we have awareness, right? Awareness and perception starts to really change the game.
Yes.
She's like, I want you to now focus on what's right with you. And I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
What can you write with me? And that led me to my own teachers and practitioners of the Elon Healing System, Extraordinary Living, Advanced Neurology. You know, our just like a computer system or our phones get continual updates, our nervous system needs updates. You know, what happens if that phone doesn't get an update over time? It's like it gets bogged down, it gets slow, the connections get weird. You know, it's working off of old programming that doesn't really serve the availability of the upgrade that could be tapped into. And our nervous system's the same way. If we're working off of old patterns back in the day that kept us safe, you know, it might have worked then and it might have kept us safe then. And we might have created foundations out of fight or flight, but it's like, this new version of me wanted to move forward into something else. And this physical manifestation was my body's last ditch effort to say, you need to pay attention.
Yeah. Like wake up. Let me give you a sign. I'm going to give you a sign. You can't miss this giant lump on your neck.
And it's like in this audience, you know, I'm sure talking with you, Maria, like we've all had these moments where it's like our body is screaming at us and it's confusing and it's disorienting. But if we have really good skills around connecting into our body and saying like, what are you trying to tell me? Like, I don't want to fix it, make it go away. But like, this is an opportunity for growth and change. And so as I was entrained after my talk therapy for about a year or so and getting really connected in my body, dropping tension patterns, being willing to get into this space, it was like, oh, I have more ease around my connection to my communication, my truth, who it is that I actually am at this moment and who it is I'm bumping up into being and really taking the time to be present with all of it. Like what's the information that was stored? Yeah. And as I got more connected around that in a really safe way, right? Because it's like, we don't need to like put healing crises on top of healing crises.
Yeah.
We want to gently open boxes to peek inside and say, oh, I see that, you know, and we'll put it away and the body will help us process it in a way that makes the most sense so we can actually evolve and grow. And it went down over time and eventually I had no lump on my neck and it took about a year and a half or so.
Wow.
But I let my body heal and I let myself have that space. You know, and thankfully it wasn't like an emergency, like it wasn't cancer. So it was like, I had the space and time to work with it and work through it and be really present with it. And then by the time they went in for surgery, they just kind of like cleaned it up a little bit, made sure it wasn't cancerous or anything too, you know, abnormal. And it was just like, energetically, I was cleared out. Physically, I was cleared out. And I got to experience my body and my life in a completely different way because of all the work. So, which then led me into wanting to be a practitioner myself. I was like,
this
is incredible.
That is really an incredible journey. So for our audience, for somebody who's listening and thinking, okay, that all sounds really great. Where do I start? What would be a first step that you would recommend for somebody to take if they're just starting to like tune into their body, tune into their inner intelligence, start to try and actually like pay attention and gain more self-awareness? Where would you suggest that someone begin?
I suggest that somebody always begins with a meditation practice and a breathwork practice.
Okay.
It's easy, it's simple. It can be done at home. It could be done in the car. We could do it right here on this podcast. Like, it's available to us always. And to definitely hook in, if you're not comfortable and you're like, I don't meditate, I don't know what that looks like, it seems scary, it seems like a lot of work, I don't want to breathe a lot. Like, there's a lot of blocks around these things that are very, very simple, but have been around forever and are highly effective in how we connect with ourselves.
Yeah.
So then obviously next step is like, reach out, find a coach, get somebody on your team who can create accountability and teach you and encourage you to continue a practice. But it could be as simple as putting your hands on your heart, feeling your body.
So everybody, so everyone who's listening, try this right now. Let's go through this right now. Let's do it.
So let's either, if you put your hands on your heart, palm over palm, or you can put on your belly button, which one, whichever one feels best. Like, we want to go to wherever the best place is. So if one has more ease, go with the ease. And you just close your eyes and breathing in your nose and out your mouth. Connect to this part of the body that your hands are resting on and feel the muscles. As you breathe in and they expand, you're meeting yourself from the inside to the outside and then connecting in and releasing. It's just taking this quiet moment just to breathe in and out. Feeling your chest rise or your belly rise and feeling it fall and contract. And connecting in this way, you know, 3 to 6 breaths is like 60 seconds maybe. That's a meditation practice. That's a breathwork practice.
Yeah, that's, I really wanted you to do it live because that's one of the things that I think people don't realize is they hear like, oh, start a meditation practice, and they picture themselves sitting in a lotus position, which they may or may not be able to do, and like listening to chanting and thinking like, I would rather be doing anything else right now. But meditation can be so simple. So that's like a great example.
Yeah, and it can be active. You can go for a quiet walk. Don't have anything in your ears, you know, put the phone away. It can be active. You can be sitting up. You can be laying down. It's just us taking the time to be intentional. Like, I'm going to meditate for a moment and let the thoughts move through. You know, it's like just as a leaf falls from the tree and watching it move its way down, you know, it's like, let either the thoughts be that or envision that little leaf doing that, you know, give yourself active, you know, something active to focus on. And it's amazing how quickly we can shift in our energy into that kind of space.
Yeah, that's so true. So tell us about a walking meditation. This is something I do really often, but I'm really curious to hear what your perspective is on that. So tell me what a walking meditation is for you.
A walking meditation for me is not having a phone on me, not having any earbuds in my ears. We are walking and just really, I love being really present with my breath. So as I breathe and I walk, I can feel my breath in my hips and it moves up my spine to the crown of my head and out down the front of my body and creating just a really gentle cadence with that breath and just really being mindful of my surroundings, not going too fast, how my feet are hitting the ground, you know, any kind of like adjustments and movements, anything you can hear. Like, I literally like live out in the forest. So I love walking and trying to hear as much as I can in the silence amongst the nature, right? To be really curious and inquisitive about what is happening around us.
I love that. And for people who live in an urban environment, I live in sort of a semi-urban environment. One of the things that I do when I do a walking meditation is I challenge myself to tune into nature sounds.
Yes.
So it's not only that this takes some concentration, which is part of what makes it meditative, is that you might be hearing sirens and horns and trains and planes and buses and whatever, but instead you're listening for the bird or the sound of a leaf rustling or breeze in a trees or, you know, anything like that, a cricket. I mean, there's all kinds of things. And I think just searching for nature sounds becomes meditative.
100%. Yeah. It gets us connected to something that's like so much deeper and expansive than who we are.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we have skin, you know, it's not a boundary. It doesn't mean this is where we stop. You know, it's just an opportunity to expand further out. You know, it's like our nervous system is in our skin. You know, it's the interface. It's how we experience our environment. And then it comes into our nervous system, into the peripherals, into the central. And so that we can actually figure it out and decipher, you know, what is it? What's the feedback? What is it that I need to be connected to? Like, what's all the information that's coming? And it's like, if we're neurologically clouded or, you know, think about a car, you know, we're driving in a car and your windshield is just not clean. It's tough to see the road or that light, you know, the sunshine comes in and you can just see like how dirty it is and you can't see the road at all. You know, it's like our nervous system is that windshield. It's like that needs to be really, it really makes a difference how clean it is and how our driving experience is as the drivers in the driver's seat.
Yeah. I like that analogy very, very much. What else would you suggest with breath work? I mean, I love the example you just gave us. What would be a next step with breath work?
Yeah. So breath work really can address we can use breath work to drop tension. Mm-hmm. We can use breath work to build tension or fire or energy, right? So there's like different ways that we can connect into. There's different breath patterns that can take us into different states of consciousness. Uh-huh. And so when I work with people in my care, the first thing that we focus on is being connected in ease and finding those places in the body that are connected in ease. And then we have exercises that it's like, okay, maybe if there's a spot in the body that's a little bit more defended, like we learn how to take that ease that's in the body, soak it up like a sponge soaks up water, and then take it to a part of ourself that we want to share or create a bridge with that ease so that we can be moving it through, because it's all energy and we can move free energy through bound energy and we can connect. Like you can breathe into your knee or your toe. Like it's a skill and you need to like flex that muscle, but you can do these things, which is so effective for like injury and pain relief.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So give us an example of, I mean, just pick whatever body part, whatever.
Yeah.
How would you describe finding ease for someone who's listening to this and being like, I don't know what ease feels like. Like, what is that? How does that translate? So what would be the answer to that question? Like, how do I recognize ease?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So the first step is like doing a body scan. So okay. If we envision our palms, our lenses, right? This is where we're going to focus.
Okay.
So like when I had you put your hand on your heart and then palm over palm, it's like we're focusing right in that part of the body.
Uh-huh.
So we can do this along the midline, right? Whether you're comfortable with the word chakras or not, it doesn't matter. Chakras associate with different nervous system plexes. So it's really neurological and how the brain takes up the information. Everything has a part, and as the part, we create a whole. So we can connect into the different chakras. When I have someone do a body scan, it's right hip, left hip, and then belly button, solar plexus, or right, like where the xiphoid process is, you know, where the ribs come together. Inner heart, we separate and we just kind of do some fingertips here at the throat. Eyes, palms on the eyes, and then on top of the head. And we just check in, say, hey, can you get breath here? Can you get focus here? What does that feel like? What does it seem like you can do in these different places? And then we just do a quick body scan check-in and then just say, where can you find your focus, your breath, feel the movement, and find a sense of ease. Like, I like being in my heart. It feels good to be here. I can take all those components and bring them together. Movement, breath, focus, presence. And I would definitely go, like, you know, think about what you do on a daily basis. Some people just naturally like you know, stuff hits the fan, then they just go like this. We're like, oh, or you put your hands on your belly. Some mm-hmm. people put their hands on their head, you know? Mm-hmm. Think about those natural things that you're subconsciously doing. Mm-hmm. And then see what it feels like to be connected into these different parts. And you just kind of go with what that innate intelligence, that body wisdom is saying is like, okay, go back to the heart. That seemed like the best place to be.
Yeah. And
where your ease is, that's the roadmap.
Yeah, I have found, so the heart is a place for me. And I have found that sometimes if I'm in a stressful situation, and you can do this subtly, you know, so you just kind of put your hands on your heart and you can kind of look like you're sort of, I don't know, like if you're wearing a badge or whatever, like you're holding your badge. I mean, you can do this in a subtle way.
Absolutely.
But it can really just make you reconnect and feel much more calm, confident, and secure. And so it becomes like a pathway accessing that sense of centeredness. At least that's been my experience.
Absolutely. And I think as we remind people, especially people are high in anxiety right now. It's a thing. Like I work with people on various levels of anxiety, and it's like to show somebody that they have ease in their body is a big deal. Because when everything's wound up and we're in fight or flight and our sympathetics are firing and it's like, I'm on this merry-go-round and I don't know how to get off.
Yeah.
Because you are alive, you have ease. If you didn't have ease, you would be dead.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Plain and simple.
Yes.
And so to show somebody and offer that to them saying like, oh, you have some ease here. Let's work with this. Even if it's a little bit. And if it's the little bit and it's the best place out of all of them, trust that that's there for you to offer you that moment of just like bringing it back to home base. I'm safe in my body, you know, and it's a skill set and it's not the easiest thing for a lot of people, but it's true and it's there.
Yeah. And I do love what you said about some people do this instinctively and they don't even realize what they're doing. So if you start to pay attention to yourself and the next time, say you're going into a stressful meeting or whatever, maybe you hold your wrist, maybe you actually hold your hand, maybe you hold one of your fingers, maybe you go like this on your head or whatever. There might be all kinds of things that you already do. So your body's doing this subconsciously. Yeah. And when you bring consciousness to it, then becomes a super powerful tool because you can choose to silence that mind cluck and be like, nope, right now I'm connecting with me.
Yep. Yeah. Because we're really good at just letting this go. It's amazing.
It's so true.
If we just let it go, it'll do its thing, you know? And then we're like, the adult conscious part of us is just like, what is going on? But the body's like, oh, we've done this before and you've let me do this before. And there's no real connection to the consciousness and the subconsciousness and that neurological feedback of the body saying like, hey, I'm safe. We don't need to do this anymore. But when we implement a practice, a mindfulness practice, a breathwork practice, a meditation practice that reminds us in the daily life, oh, I can take that moment. Then it changes the game.
Right. Exactly. And one of the important things about what you just said is take that moment. This can all happen in a moment. Like as you develop your practice, it's not like you've got to step out of a meeting and spend a lot of time doing this. You can get really good at it so that you can literally do it in a moment. And then it's super, super powerful.
Yeah. I mean, because what's true freedom? True freedom is making a different choice.
Absolutely.
Having the opportunity to make a different choice.
Yeah. And it's also, I think about this so much, the fact that we can only have one thought at a time. And so if you've got mind cluck going on, whatever that mind cluck might be, you can take a deep breath and you can just think about something else. And sometimes this is very hard to do, but the more that you create this whole practice around recentering, the easier it becomes to be like, oh, nope, that's mind cluck. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to think about this instead.
Yeah. I mean, our brains have neurological plasticity. Like, thank goodness. Like, thank goodness for that. Like, teach a dog new tricks. Yeah, we can teach ourselves some new tricks.
Yeah. One of the other things that you touched on that I really value myself is the ability to change past feedback. I call them feedback loops. So yeah. It's like, if I was in this situation in the past, I would have flipped out because blah, blah, blah. And then after healing whatever led to that reaction, then I can go into it the next time and have a totally different experience. And that is neuroplasticity, like the ability to shift all of that. So if you find yourself, especially now when, as you were saying, you know, tensions are so high, there's so much going on, and you find yourself feeling really reactive, you can change that.
Yeah. I love reflecting back on those moments where I'm like, whew, 3 years ago, I would have been in a corner, like mm-hmm. in the fetal position, like this would have broke me. Mm-hmm. But I've developed the skills and the strategy via my body.
Yeah.
The neurological clarity and embodying my spine to take healthy, congruent action. I'm like, whew, I have a different relationship with this now. And it's those moments of clarity around the duality we exist in, where it's just like that we have to go through things to appreciate things in a different way. You know, we come out of being sick for a week and it's just like, oh, thank you for my health. Yeah. I really, really appreciate feeling good and not having a runny nose and sneezing and like coughing. Like,
right.
We need this perspective, and the work that we're doing internally is like, this is what we're here for, you know? Yeah. I wrestle with that idea of like, my goodness, why are we here? And I just keep coming back to like, oh, it's to feel the feelings, and it's to really experience the duality of this earthly plane, mm-hmm. to really be appreciative about what it is we're up to here.
Mm-hmm. And also to appreciate, I mean, I think one thing that I think about a lot is just being so appreciative of our ability to change. Yeah. So to shift how we might feel in a certain situation and feel much, much better. And it's like, as you start to do that in more and more areas of your life, it's so satisfying. It's such a wonderful thing.
I tell my kids a lot, I'm like, what a blessing to be a human, because we get to change our minds.
Yeah.
What was true a week ago can totally be different today.
Yeah. You know? Oh, I love that. That's a really good perspective. That, I mean, my dad, as I was growing up, my dad would always say that the one thing on life you can count on is change. And it's so true. So if you're in a situation that's miserable, like that situation will change. But also if you're held prisoner by your mind clock, that can also change. You don't have to stay there. You can start working with somebody or start working on yourself and use books and meditations and all different kinds of things and shift how you feel in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We all do that. We all have the opportunity to make that different choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I feel like we could just talk for hours, but we're getting towards the end of our time. So yeah. I wondered if there's any last thing you'd like to tell our audience.
Well, if you want to experience that initial body scan and working with that yourself at your house or in your, or wherever, not, mm-hmm. you know, in your private time, mm-hmm. You could go to my website, mlmoonstudio.com, and scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and that free meditation breathwork, like 10-minute video is there for you to experience and use it with yourself, use it with your family, your friends, your children. Please, can we please teach our children more about getting our hands on our bodies and feeling our bodies and knowing, like, you know, we can feel our feelings and it's super safe to do that.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. That's so beautiful. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for joining me today. And thanks for everything that you've shared. It's so powerful.
Thank you, Maria. I really appreciate it.
All right. Okay. To our audience, thanks so much for listening and have a wonderful day. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.